You remember Nuri, he was just about this high. Had a little higher voice. Now it's starting to change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That ought to be an incentive for all of us to get up here and share what God has for us. And we thank Him for who He is. We're certainly glad that you're here this morning, and I hope that you're encouraged this morning through what God wants to bring. He got His way. I had another message but God felt like this was pretty important that we talk about. And being encouraged, but be an encourager to others. And we're going to look at a fellow in the Bible that was pretty close to God, and he was an encourager. We'll be looking at him and then have some practical things that we'll share this morning. But before we do that, again, we're going to address the Father. Father, we come here this morning, and we want to find out more about you. We want to find out what you want of us. And we're asking you this morning to teach us, Lord. We've been trying all of our lives to try to understand and what you want of us. So, Father, this morning, we may have been on a spiritual journey for some time. But this morning, we're looking to move further down the road. Just wanting a deeper understanding of what you really want of us. So, Father, regardless of where we are in our spiritual journey, we all need encouragement. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll teach us. Teach us this morning to be encouragers. To be a fountain for others, that they might drink of what we offer through encouragement. As we want to be refreshed ourselves. Not to ridicule those who need, but also to encourage them. So, Lord, I'm asking you to sensitize our hearts this morning to hear, perceive, and then do your will. And we thank you, Lord, for focusing us on being encouragers. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, speak to our hearts. Amen. Old preacher, he was retiring, and the church chose to have a farewell dinner for him, and it seemed like at least one of the pillar members of the church came up to him and was kind of down in the dumps, and he says, "Well, you know, don't be sad. The next preacher might be better than me." And she replied, "That's what they said the last time, but it keeps getting worse." I guess that would not be encouragement, would it? There's something that we all need. Sometimes our egos need expanded, I guess. But we need lifted up, each one of us. And I know we go through some challenging times. All of us go through challenging times. And as we live our lives along the way, we can all think about someone that was there that encouraged us and lifted us up to become what we are right now. As God worked through others to be encouragers to us. What do people do when they're struggling? What do they really need when they're struggling? It's encouragement, isn't it? We all need encouraged. When people are challenged, when they're challenged to get out of their comfort zone and to move on and then move out for God. They're not feeling comfortable. They need encouragement, don't they? We all do. Those who have children. Whenever you seen the child and you wanted them to start walking, did you say to them, "Hey, you dummy, you're 4 months old now, let's get moving"? No, we didn't do that, did we? We encouraged those kids. We encouraged our children to take one step in front of the other and maybe hold on by a little finger until finally they made that first step. But it all happened through encouragement. Whenever a Christian is falling down, and we know it, can we go to them and say, "Hey, you worthless bum, get up. Straighten yourself out. You don't want to go to hell for all your messing up, do we?" No, we don't do that. We all need encouragement. You know, I had a quote, and I can't tell you who it was. I just had it recorded. And it went like this. Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you. You think about those encouragers in life. Well, that's where the message goes this morning, is an encouragement. Encouragement. What is encouragement? When we say we're encouraging another person, what do we really, really mean by we're encouraging someone else? Are we encouraging whenever we yell at another person? No. Encouragement means to come alongside someone else. You know, words are cheap and words are good, but whenever I come alongside someone and I want to be with them to pray, I want to be there to just to chat and to hang out with, whenever someone's down, you know, whenever we're just there for someone and come alongside them, how important that is. I want to share with you some scriptures that Jesus used. You know, whenever Jesus, he had his 12 disciples and he took them and he encouraged them and he was with them and they taught and they prayed and he was a helper to them to come to understand the ways of God. But, you know, in the latter parts of his days before he went and paid the ultimate price for you and I, the disciples knew. They were told that he was going to leave them. Now, if you can imagine a teacher for 3 years that you was with every day, 24/7, and now he says he's going to leave, and how, they were disgruntled. You know, they were disappointed. And Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and in verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be able to be with you forever." Now, they perhaps didn't understand, the disciples perhaps didn't understand what Jesus was saying, and so he made it more clear in verse 26. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have taught you." You see, Jesus right there plants the seed in our minds that we got to be helpers and we should be encouragers as he was an encourager to the 12 disciples. I think that also says something that us as encouragers, we also got to be willing to step in and walk beside sometimes. People will take better to admonishment, which we may have to do sometimes, but if we're right there beside them and say, "But we can try this another way," be an encourager. You know, the guy we're going to talk about this morning, Barnabas. Barnabas wasn't really his given name. His given name was Joseph. But he got this name, Barnabas, because that means son of encouragement. How would you like to be called the son of encouragement? Like Barnabas was. When everybody we know needs encouraged. We need encouraged in our daily lives as well as those special responsibilities we've got to take. And some of them very critical. This week, my brother Jeff started driving a truck and I knew he was going to have coal buckets. And it was time to pray, wasn't it? It was a time of pray, and we pray that God encouraged him. You see, encouragement, there's something else that I want to share with you that comes out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." So, what does this encouragement mean? You know, what's it do for us anyway? Let's get down to some nitty-gritty this morning. You know, my hope is always that I can be an encourager in my life. There are some young preachers, young men of God that I just want to be with and hang out with and encourage, and we just chat. What an opportunity. But I pray that I can be an encourager, whether I'm in church or whether I'm down here at the hardware store or at the grocery store, that we can always be encouragers. Just a little word of encouragement sometimes goes a long way. You see, encouragement is the antidote for discouragement. And we have it to offer. I think that, church, we may not be, as a people of a church, as individuals, we can think, well, we're not where we'd like to be, but we've got room to improve. But you know, you aren't where you were 2 years ago, and you aren't where you were a year ago, you aren't where you were last week. As God speaks to you, we come closer to Him and more like Him. I hope we can be that. Negative people can pollute our minds with negative thoughts. Negative circumstances can actually hurt our hope, the hope that we have for something. And sometimes these attitudes that we have can kind of sneak up on us because we're not focused on being an encourager. And I got some antidotes for that here in a moment too. Stick with me. So this morning I just want us to look in the scriptures at this fellow called Barnabas. I'd like to frame him in a portrait, and let's try to look at him as, who was he? And why was he? And how did God use him? I think if I look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 20, 21 to 23, or actually verses 22 to 23, we start to see, and I just want to share with you the scriptures about Barnabas. First of all, Barnabas was the guy that was kind of called out, and we'll read this, where he was called Antioch, to kind of lead the people there and to encourage them. But verses 22, 23 says, "Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with the purpose of his heart." Purpose of his heart. "And they continued with the Lord." There was a purpose in his heart, and that was to encourage this church at Antioch. When Jerusalem heard, they sent him to be the encourager because they knew who he was. What made Barnabas so popular as the son of encouragement? I mean, what is it that really gave him, or he earned, what was going on that he had the reputation that they wanted to call him Barnabas, the son of encouragement? What was going on? Let's look at the bio of him. In verse 24, it says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." It says Barnabas was a good man. Well, that's not just the opposite of not being a good man, but he was a good man. Now, to go further than that, a good man, I would consider a good man to be one that had a benevolent attitude. I mean, he was giving of his heart. He gave all those things that was needed for that church to flourish and for all of those individuals in that church to be encouraged and to be lifted up. But you know, Barnabas, one of the things he did also was he had a gentle personality. He wasn't a rough and charred and slam-bam type. He was a gentleman that came alongside to be an encourager. And I think those are good attributes. But to go further, he wasn't a man that was obsessed with the power and pride. But he was sensitive. You know, you and I have got to learn to be sensitive people. And I think we also got to be something that Barnabas sees. He's seen these people. And he's seen through them. He's seen what they needed. So consequently, he was a sensitive man. And being sensitive and gentle and caring and loving and wanting to come alongside and to encourage and to lift up, you can start to get a picture of why he was the encourager that he was. But it goes deeper than that, folks. It wasn't something that was put on. The scriptures say that he was a man of faith. and he was filled with the Spirit. And he was ready for the Holy Spirit of God through the Heavenly Father. Since he had this relationship with the Almighty, he had built a relationship. Obviously, his faith was strong because he had built a relationship with God and understood that regardless of what happened, God was going to be there for him. And so he was filled with that Holy Spirit. Now, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then the communication is coming consistently. And if I know he's with me and the communication is coming here from him and he's directing my path and I'm going back to him and saying thank you and I'm praising him and I'm saying, God, thank you for this. Please show me what I need to do next. In my mind set is that. And he keeps speaking to me. And as he keeps speaking to me, I don't want to do nothing but please him. And if he's led me to be an encourager, then I'm going to be an encourager. But I'm going to do it his way, you see. Not in the rough and gruff way, but I'm going to be an encourager through the gentleness and persuasiveness and being perceived, and I'm moving out. 4 points that's in your outline. I want to hit all four of them. But the first point is that to be an encourager, we've got to tap the resources of God. And if I can share with you scripturally, let's read the feature found here about Barnabas in Acts 11, 25 and 26. It says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that the whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And all the disciples were called Christians then at Antioch for the first time. It said that Barnabas was an encourager for a whole year. He worked with Saul. Now, Barnabas had to recognize the potential that Saul had. We have to recognize potential people that we meet. I might share with you a little story. This actually is a true story. I can't tell you where it came from, but I can tell you it's a true story. Fellow was a coach. He coached the 9 and 10-year-old softball team, girls. And the coach had a game scheduled. Problem was that whenever game day had come and time for the game, only 6 players showed up. Pretty disappointing. But the 6 girls that showed up, they all hit the streets trying to bring at least 2 more because there had to be 8 on the field to start the game. And they got 2 more. And one of them really impressed the coach as she came in, and she had a really nice ball glove, and she had a batting glove. And really, whenever she came in, she was impressed. And this coach said, wow, okay, this is all right. I can get into this. And the problem was, when she got up to bat, she stood there. Strike 1. Strike 2, strike 3, and she never even moved the bat. The coach took her, went out on the grass and out beside on the side of the right field line there, and he threw her some balls. He says, now this is the way you hit. And he took her out 1-on-1 and taught her. He says, whenever that comes, this is where you got to hit it. You got to swing. He says, that's one thing you got to learn. If you're going to be a hitter, you got to swing. Well, next time she came back, didn't even move. Didn't even move. Held the bat again. Strike 1. Strike 2. The coach yells, timeout. And he went up to her and he says, listen, regardless of where that next pitch is, I want you to swing at it. Well, she did. He took her back to the infield grass. He says, listen, let's get another batting lesson here. Where that pitch is, concentrate on it. Watch the ball. When it comes in, swing. Nice and smooth. Get a swing through. Step into it and get a good swing. The next 2 times that she came up, Next two times she came up to hit, she hit the ball. The kids were just ecstatic. The coaches were just ecstatic that she got a hit, that she had got two hits, and she had moved on. And the fans were just screaming and yelling and encouraging her. You know what? There was an opportunity that day for that coach. He could have got mad. He could have probably even cursed, that I've heard some do. He could have done a lot of things, and that girl could have left there a lot different, or maybe more discouraged than she was whenever she came in. But because of the encouragement, because of that coach coming alongside and teaching and uplifting, she left an encouraged lady, worth much more to herself. The self-esteem was lifted and encouraged because she lifted. I want to tell you a story. Saul was that guy that had been chasing the Christians, and actually he was trying to kill the Christians. And now old Barnabas, he's gone out after Saul. I mean, he's an Antioch. He's got a lot of pressures on him. He needed help. And he says, hey, I'm going to go up there and get old Saul and bring him in. Well, the rest of the apostles, they kind of looked down over their nose. Said, hey, this is a guy that's killing Christians, and now he's called himself a Christian. I don't know if we can trust this guy. I don't think he's where he needs to be. I mean, after all, he could be a spy. He could have been, you know, but Barnabas looked at him and seen potential. Because if you remember Saul, he was the Pharisees of Pharisees, but he was the head Pharisee, and he had a lot of training. And now God converted him on the road to Damascus. Barnabas knew that. And Barnabas says, okay, if God did a work in him and started a work in him, let's encourage him. Let's see where he'll really go. And so Barnabas took him. He took him by the hand, and for a year he worked with Saul. And you know what? Even though Barnabas was the guy that was originally called to take the church at Antioch, when Saul gets rooted and grounded and sees, okay, and he begins to take over, you know, it could have been that Barnabas would have said, there he is, taking over my job. He didn't do that at all. Barnabas stepped aside and let it happen gracefully. Not with a big boom, but it happened gracefully and automatically as God would have had it. First receive the training and the instruction and the encouragement, and things will work out fine. Well, Barnabas didn't stop there. He went on. You know, as Saul, who then became Paul, who then became, as you know, wrote much of the New Testament, he went on. He took on John Mark. And Mark is the writer of the second gospel, Mark. Paul didn't think much of Mark because Mark had kind of stood them up whenever they was on another missionary journey. And so consequently, Paul didn't want to have anything to do with John Mark. But Barnabas says, come on, John Mark. And he took him, and they went to on another missionary journey and become very effective, visiting all the churches that were out there to be encouraged. You see, we got to draw people to our sides and be encouraging those ones that are sometimes down. I have another quote that I found that I just wanted to share with you that just, it touched my heart, and even though it was written by Mother Teresa, I think it's great. She says, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, and kindness in your smile. Not bad advice. Third point. You got to be an encourager. You got to act upon what you know. And that's all you really can do. But as you continually in this Word of God, you gain something. More insight. More understanding. And I think God begins to give you more of a discerning spirit, to be able to see through things and to understand things better. We see that happening. What he knew, Barnabas used it. I'll give you the scripture in Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21. Acts 14, 21. It says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to the other churches that they had been, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We see Barnabas continuing. It wasn't a one-time shot with Paul. It wasn't a one-shot with John Mark. But Barnabas continued day after day, week after week, year after year, encouraging those folks in the Lord. I think we all have that responsibility. Not to make it a one-time shot with a person. You say, well, they didn't respond to me. Well, you know, I just recently had one of those, and you know, it didn't stop me. Kept going back until eventually they might say, well, I don't want anything to do anymore with you, but I'm going to keep on going because God told me to. And I think sometimes we've got to keep on going and not react to what people might say to us or other people might say, but let's listen to what God is speaking to us. And that's kind of what we see in Barnabas, that he keeps on because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He listened to God. He didn't listen to man. And so I think that's where we got to be. Barnabas practiced that encouragement. And I want to tell you something. He taught his theology that God has given him through his actions. He showed it. He just didn't talk about it. He showed it. And what an encouragement that ought to be to us. He showed people who needed encouraged. He just didn't tell them. I learned a long time ago, it doesn't matter too much what you tell people you know. They'd rather see your actions. Well, I'll break it up here a little bit with a joke. Kind of interesting joke. I found it is kind of corny, but it's Chinese man and a Jewish man sitting together in a bar. Not a good place to be, but they'd been there obviously longer than what they should have been. And all of a sudden, the Jewish man, he hauled up and he slugged the Chinese man. And the Chinese man was so surprised and he was really quite upset. He said, what'd you do that for? Well, the Jewish man says, that was for Pearl Harbor. And the guy says, whoa, wait a minute. That was the Japanese, not the Chinese. And then the Jewish man says, Chinese, Japanese, what's the difference? Well, a minute later, the Chinese man, he hauled off and he slugged the Jewish man. What was that for? The Jewish man asked. He says, that was for the Titanic. He says, the Titanic? The Jewish man said, that was an iceberg. He says, iceberg, Goldberg, what makes the difference? Now, if you understand Jewish, I guess you'd have to get that. It's a little bit corny. But that's the point four now. I got you to laugh and wake up a little bit. The point four, when I think we continue to look at Barnabas here, there's something else. We see Barnabas as a sacrificiously serving people in his Lord. Sacrificiously. He had a servant's heart. A true servant's heart. He expected no glory for himself. He only wanted to glorify the Almighty God that he served. I think we can start to see that relationship when we think about the Apostle Paul and his endeavor with him. Paul took over the church at Antioch. Barnabas says, and he stepped away quietly and let him take it. Because, you know what? Barnabas had encouraged him. He'd worked with him. He had uplifted him and taught him the ways of God. Barnabas was willing, quietly, to let it happen. You know, I understand that encouraging might take a little remodeling in each one of our lives. I understand that. But we got to keep on keeping on and stay connected. And that's where I want to go the next. I'll just tell you a story about this. The school, that actually this is a true story that happened several years ago. There was a school in Texas that burned, and there was a lot of children that burned up in the fire in this school. And whenever they passed the bond issue and they built a new school and They put the very best sprinkler system in, the very best sprinkler heads that they could put in the building. And whenever they had the open house and they was going through and showing all the people what was in the building, they kept pointing up to those sprinkler heads and say, look, that's the very best that money can buy. Every one of them is loaded, and if there's ever a fire again, those are going to go off and put the fire out. 7 years later, they built on to that school. And although it was kind of the state-of-the-art type school and so forth, whenever they went to hook up the sprinkler system for the new wing, they found out the sprinkler heads on the old building had never been hooked up to the main water line. I tell you that story to lead you into this, that you and I can be encouragers, and we can keep walking through life at the grocery store, at the hardware store, into our jobs, and we can continually try to be an encourager. But I'm going to share something with you. I believe whenever we talk about encouragement, I want to talk about the horizontal. The horizontal part of encouragement is whenever I keep going to every person that I continually have a divine appointment with that comes before me. And that's kind of a linear thing. That's kind of horizontal. But you know what really becomes important? That I don't get dried out. That I don't become a nothing. That I wore out, burn out, or whatever. Is I've got to have that vertical relationship. When I talk about vertical relationship, I'm talking about building that relationship with the Almighty God. Allowing Him to encourage me. And allowing Him to encourage you so that I might encourage others. I get refreshed. And through the Spirit of God, He gives me that refreshment so that I can keep on, keeping on, be an encourager to others. How important. How important that particular is. And that's Barnabas. We found out about him early on in what we talked about when Barnabas, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. He trusted. Well, I want to give you five things. They're in your outline, and you can look at them, but I'm going to give you the scriptures for them. Five things, I believe, that's pretty important of why you and I ought not to be pondering too much about whether we ought to be encouragers. Really, really, we need to be encouragers. Number one, why should we be an encourager? Number one is to keep the faint-hearted from quitting. You know, we can get faint-hearted, we can get down and trodden, discouraged, and that's not where we need to be, but sometimes we are. So why should we be there as encouragers? Well, the Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, he's talking to Christians. He says, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. You see, we really don't want to see any Christian ever go back to where they were. And that becomes the foundational thing that we need to do as people in a church, is to be encouragers. Number two reason why we ought to be encouragers is this, to draw out the potential of others. I want to share with you a real quick story. You know the story, and I'm just going to bring the point out. But you understand that Moses, because of his hot temper and losing things, that God says, okay, you continue to lead the people, but then you're not going to go to the promised land. He says, Joshua will take the children on across the Jordan and into the promised land. Now, I want you to think about Moses. Even though he lost his temper, he struck the rock, if you remember. He lost his temper, and that's why God said, you won't go to the promised land, but Joshua is going to lead the people onto the promised land. I want you to see what Moses said. In verse 38, Moses, it tells us in Deuteronomy 1:38, it says, Moses asked the people to encourage Joshua. Moses could have been mad, irritant, and upset, but he wasn't. He said to the people, encourage Joshua. Encourage Joshua. Because Joshua now had a tremendous opportunity before him. The same thing happened that I've already referenced to you with Barnabas and John, Mark. We see here where it could have been that Mark would have been downtrodden, but he wasn't. Barnabas picked him up and encouraged him, and Mark went on to write Mark's gospel, a great teaching that we have. Number three reason we probably should think about being an encourager is to help people see God in tough times. There's not one moment in our lives, I guess there are moments perhaps when it's all sunny, but a lot of times there's a lot of dark areas. A lot of times there's discouraging things and some tough times that we've got to go through. But the Word of God makes it clear to us in the book of James. In chapter 1 and verse 2 and 4, he speaks to us Christians again. He says, my brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. We as people that go through the tough times have got to be encouragers. I guess we all know that God has a plan for each one of our lives, right? He really does. He's an all-knowing God in control of all things. There's nothing that happens to us that first isn't filtered through Him. But a scripture that's been laid upon my heart for some time now that I've just got to share this morning is, you may know it and you may have it memorized, but it's a great scripture that we need to be reminded of. Romans 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I want to say to you this morning that there's not one of us here, if you are a Christian, if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that there's not a calling upon your life. God has a call upon your life. There's something that He wants you to do. There's something that He calls you to do. And it says, if you fulfill that calling, He says, and all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. You talk about strengthening. You talk about the strengthening that God wants to do through us to others as we work through encouragement. Another great scripture that just came to my heart that I had to share with you was out of Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, we go through things in life and sharpen our axes and we sharpen our chainsaws, and that all makes things work and work better. And we can get things done. You think about, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Countenance, lift him up. Encourage him, edify him, as the Word of God says. Important to us. Number five is to strengthen the church community. You know, one of the things that I'm going to tell you straight up bothers me. It bothers me that for us to be really encouragers of others, we've got to learn the Word of God. And whenever we can be brought together, at any time, we can be brought together and have a teaching, study the Word of God. It always bothers me that we have a good group in here on Sunday morning, but Sunday night it dwindles down, and further on Wednesday night. It's always bothered me. It bothers me because I'm thinking, and I've seen this happen, so many times we have a study on a Wednesday night that turns out to be the exact thing that another person needs the next week. It's not that God's not working. It's not that God's not bringing a teaching that's needed. But somebody allowed something else to become more important than coming into God's house. I want to share with you the scripture that I can support what I'm saying with. And it comes out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And he says this. And let us consider one another in order to stir up the love and good works. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching is whenever the Lord's going to take us out of here and our work is done here on this earth and what we will be evaluated on at the judgment seat of God. It's important that we be encouragers. I share one more story and I'm getting ready to close it up here. I want to share with you the story about this lady. She happened to be a 214-pound lady, and she wanted to lose 50 pounds. She was desperate. She was desperate she wanted to lose the weight. And so she actually went to the New York City Department of Health, and she was given a diet there that she could follow. And 2 months later, she hadn't lost a pound because she hadn't been able to follow that diet. And so she called on four other ladies that was also heavy, and they said they wanted to lose weight, and she brought them together, and they started to encourage one another. Now, a few years later, actually several years later, it's now a group of women and men, a million strong, and something like 250 different agencies called Weight Watchers. And because they encouraged one another to keep the diet, many, many become effective to lose the weight. I guess there's a weight that's on God for this church. And I want to share with you this morning that we all need to be prayer warriors. And may I encourage you to be prayer warriors for this church. I want you to know, if you haven't decided yet and found out, that Satan is very, very active in this community. There probably isn't one church in this community that isn't having difficulty somewhere. And you know why? It's because they're not being the encouragers, I believe, that Barnabas is trying to show us in God's Word and how it works. I'm going to encourage you this morning. I'm going to try to be the Barnabas that I need to be, and I'm going to ask you to try to be the Barnabas that you need to be and be an encourager. We need folks working in our Awana ministry. We need a youth leader. We need some youth leaders to step up. We need van drivers. We need riders in that bus or van. We need friendly greeters. We need teachers. We need more people out on visitation on Monday nights. You see, God is not weak in putting things that He wants done upon us in this church. But we have got to please Him. And I think pleasing is to be an encourager. Pleasing Him is to step up and take the responsibility that's placed upon us as a group of people. I found out that you better not try to run away from your calling. As I was called, I had to be brought back. Not necessarily to this church, but I had to pastor. And I tried to do something else, and God says, "You're not doing that," and He shut me off. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be shut off. You don't want to go in that dark time. You got to stay where you need to be in your calling and to fulfill it. I want you to know that I might be serving this church, but I'm trying to serve some other young folks, some other young pastors, whether it just be on the telephone or wherever I can to encourage them. Because you know what? I know how it hurts. Whenever you get people saying things like I opened up with. And sometimes people are hard and sometimes they're harsh. But you know what? It can just bounce off of me now. If you know who you are and where you are and what God's calling is upon your life, then it really, really doesn't matter about anything else. What matters is that we serve the Almighty God and be the encouragers to others and grow others. I want to tell you that we're not to be judgmental people or critical people in our encouragement. But I think we also can be fruit inspectors whenever things aren't where they need to be and God wants something done and people have committed. Then we need to stay committed. Stay committed to where you are. You know, I'm going to try to continue to be a Barnabas and recognize that there's a job that needs to get done. And I'm also going to be willing to do as Barnabas did, is call upon recruits. And that's what he did at the church at Antioch. He called upon Saul, even though the people didn't think that was right. He called upon Saul to come alongside and they did the ministry together. I probably will be doing that quite frequently and asking you to come alongside God in the ministry. It doesn't matter about me. I'm just asking. I'm just trying to be His vehicle and I'll. But you got to come alongside God and do the ministry that He calls us to do in this church. I want us all to remember that we are all called. And as we remember who called us, remember who called us, and I believe God expects us to stay rooted and grounded where He planted us to grow His kingdom. We have a purpose, and it's God's purpose. And one great one this morning is to be a Barnabas. And I encourage you to do so. The other thing I encourage you this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and maybe don't recognize what Jesus did on that cross, but He paid a price for your life that you couldn't pay yourself with His own blood and His life. And yes, He paid for that price for your sins and mine on that cross, but He was then buried. But the great thing is Easter Sunday was raised. He was raised from the power of Satan and the power of sin. And if you haven't yet received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that this might be your morning, that you might come and we'll pray with you. If you're here this morning and you understood that you need to be a Barnabas, maybe it's time to throw those other things in your life down and say, I want to follow Him. I want to be an encourager. I want to be a Barnabas. If that be the case, I invite you to come and throw those things down. Those old strongholds, those old things that you don't need to be carrying around, this excess baggage, throw it down on this altar and ask Him to take control of your life. Be a Barnabas. Will you stand and pray with me? Father, this is your time. I've tried to say everything this morning, Lord, that you wanted said, and now it's up to the people to respond, and I give that time to you and your people. And I thank you for the opportunity. As we come in the name of Jesus to you. Amen. We may not be singing a hymn of invitation, but I'll tell you what, God's still at this altar and waits upon you to come. If He's calling upon you to come and talk to Him, I encourage you to come. Singing's not going to get you to the altar. It's your willingness to come to Him. Be a Barnabas.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Throne of mercy, find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior. Trusting only in Thy merit. seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee?
Tell me this morning, do you know it by heart, what Matthew 6:33 says? Anybody? Oh, you're cheating now, Paula. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. I reached out and grabbed that scripture a long time ago, and I think you can really live your life by that. Brother, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for those inspiring words here this morning. And you know, maybe each one of us can touch somebody's life this upcoming week. You know, maybe we can be the encourager for somebody. That's a challenge that we all have this upcoming week. So, again, don't forget this evening's services and the community prayer that we'll be having. So bow your heads, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for these words that were given to us here this morning. Lord, we just pray that we will take these words and use them in this upcoming week, Father. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you have laid upon each and every family that's represented here, Lord. We just ask that you be with all those prayer concerns that was raised up this morning in our prayer time here, Father. We know, Lord, that porthole that is open when we pray, Lord, that you receive these things. We know that through this congregation, it's getting larger, Father, and we praise you, and we thank you for this. Again, Father, watch over us this upcoming week. These things we ask and we pray for in Jesus' name. Amen.